Job chapter number 1. We're going to look again. We've been talking about walking uprightly. And last week we talked about walking uprightly demands attention. And basically we started with walking uprightly demands the attention of the world and how the world looks at us. And a lot of the world doesn't like it when you walk uprightly, when you walk in righteousness, when you do what's right. But also, and we just started into it, but the God, it demands the attention of God when we walk uprightly. So we're going to look at Job chapter number 1, verse number 1 here. Job chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." All right, so we have the what Job was. Look at verse number 5. This gives a little bit more about Job and his holiness. "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray, and we'll get into our lesson this morning. Lord, I do thank you for this opportunity to come to church this morning. Thank you for this excitement that it was in the foyer as the young people went to their Sunday school classes. I pray that you just bless them and help them, God. Each young person here today, each adult is not here by accident. And Lord, I pray that you just guide and direct in each one of our hearts. Help us be attentive to your word. And Lord, help me as I stand here this morning. I pray that you just give me the words to say and help everything to be exactly what you would want it and in the right the manner in which it should be spoken. And I pray that you would just use my lips this morning. Help the other Sunday school teachers as they teach, help pastors as he preaches, help the activities that will be following. I pray that everything will be done decently and in order, and everybody will be safe. And thank you just for your love for us. Guide us and be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you go over to Job chapter number 2, Job chapter number 2. So from verse number in Job chapter 1, from verse number 13 through verse number 22, it tells about all the different things that have happened to Job. He lost his family, lost all of his possessions. Really, the only thing he has left is his own health and his wife. That's basically what he's left with. And it's kind of neat. The Bible says, "And two shall be one." And remember, God told Satan he couldn't lift his hand up against Job. And in that, he couldn't touch Job's wife either. And it's kind of interesting, but we're not going to talk about that today. Job chapter number 2. So Job has just gone through all this. And the Bible says in verse number 1, "Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'From whence comest thou?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life.'" And we saw in Job chapter number 1 where God came, where Satan came to Job. And what we were talking about is the fact that God was And I know that pride is not a good thing, but and I think you'll know what I mean by the word pride. I mean, when you have a young person that does right, you know, you have a child that does right, there's a sense of pride. Does that make sense? And I don't know that that's a right term necessarily, but I think that's okay that you know, that you're proud of your kids if they do what's right. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, as long as it's not a, you know, well, look what how good a job we've done, okay? Because it's but by the grace of God that any of us wouldn't be here today, okay? But you're thankful for your kids, and you're thankful for, you know, the progress that they've made perhaps, or something that they've done. So in a way, I think God is proud of Job. And in chapter number one, he brings Job up. He brings the subject of Job up to Satan. He first of all asks Satan where he's been, and Satan tells him, I've been going to and fro and wandering around causing problems. And Job and God said, have you considered my servant Job? And so Satan says, well, you've put a hedge of protection around him. And God said, well, I'm going to remove that hedge of protection, and you're allowed to touch him, but you just can't touch him personally. And we see Satan comes and he destroys everything that Job has. He destroys his family, destroys his possessions. But then in chapter number 2, Bible says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And there again, he brings up the subject of Job. So Satan has already sent him through the ringer, if you would. And then he brings up again, hey, look at Job. All right, look at what he's, you know, you've tried your best to beat him, and he still holdeth fast his integrity. You know what that means? He's still standing upright. Despite everything that you've thrown at him, look at him. He's still doing what's right. He's still standing upright. And I started in this last week, but just like the eyes of all the world respect you as you stand and relish when you fall, even so God admires you when you stand and is disappointed when you fall. What would have happened if that second time that Satan came, you know, because God keeps this devil on a short leash. And we see that in the book of Job. God, that Satan has to come to God to keep account, okay? And if Satan the first time came to God and said, well, let's remove the hedge so I can touch him. And God said, all right, let's remove the hedge. And Job buckled. Do you think God would have been happy or would have been disappointed when Satan came back and said, see, I told you that he would buckle. I told you that he would fall down. I told you that he couldn't stand the pressure. And sad to say, but I think that happens a lot. You know, Satan, God allows a certain amount of trials to come into our life. And because of the trials, most Christians just fold. And the reason a lot of you are here this morning is you've been through those trials. You know what these trials are. You've may not been through it like Job, but in some way, you've been through some of that stuff. And if we just buckle, that's not a very good reputation for God. All right? So we need to make sure that we stand upright and walk uprightly. I talked about last week how I always wanted to be the one that someone, you know, you always want to be the one that somebody is glad to have on their team. Okay, you don't want to be, you know, the last person picked. That's never a comfortable spot in life, okay? That's not who you want to be. You want to be the one that, you know, somebody's glad that that they're on their team, okay? And I want to be that for God. I want to be the one that said that God looks down and says, "All right, you know, you can try him, you can test him, but I'm glad he's on my team." All right? Instead of the one that, "Oh, man, yeah, he's on my team," okay. And I wanted to always be that for my dad. I wanted to have my dad to be say, "Hey, yeah, that's my son," you know, or anything like that. And I think we ought to have that reputation. First of all, the world walking uprightly demands the attention of the world, but walking uprightly also demands the attention of God. And we basically that's where we stopped last week. So we're going to go into this. What does it mean when God is watching us? Because everybody in heaven, I think, at this point is kind of watching Job. Okay? They're watching what's going on in the life of Job. And I think the angels are rooting for him. And the demonic forces are booing him. And this is a battle in the life of a person. And we always remember this. You know, we had that prayer time here last night. And I don't know who all came. Me and Dalton prayed together for a while. Dalton Loveless. And I appreciate the time that he took to do that. But, you know, we can do everything that we can. And we can go visit hours and hours and hours. But there is a spiritual battle that goes on. And the only way to beat, to win a spiritual battle is to fight spiritual with spiritual. You can't fight spiritual with carnality. Okay? And I say carnality as in physical. Doesn't matter. If there's a spiritual battle going on, should you go soul winning? Yes. Should you invite people? Yes. Should you try to, you know, do things? Yes. But sometimes we don't fight spiritual with spiritual. We try to fight spiritual with physical. And, you know, I know not everybody may have been able to come and pray. You know, there is something about meeting together in a unified place with for a time of prayer. You know, some of you probably prayed at home, and that's fine. Okay, I'm glad if you took some time. But let's not forget that we fight a spiritual warfare. Okay, and in heaven, there was a spiritual battle going on. And we see that, but God is watching Job. And what are some of the things that it shows when God is watching us? Okay, and we're going to talk about some of those things. So when God watches us, first of all, it shows his love. It shows his love. And we're going to go at this from perhaps more of a parent's aspect, a parent's perspective. You know, you watch your children, when you are watching your children grow up, you would watch them because you love them. Now, follow with me, and I think this will make sense. But God loved Job, and God was watching Job. And God also made sure that Job didn't have to go through something that he couldn't handle. Okay? But God, when God is watching us, it shows his love. God is more of a parent, not a teacher. Okay? A teacher watches a child to critique a child. Does that make sense? Okay? A parent watches a child because they love that child and want to help that child develop. Not that a teacher doesn't love the child, but it's a different type of thing. All right? For instance, let's just get it down to practical so you understand. All right? My son Micah, for one of his baby shower gifts, okay? One of his baby shower gifts, or I say baby shower, somebody bought it this for him when he was first born. They gave me enough money to go out and buy him a Ruger 1022, brand new Ruger 1022, okay, as a baby. Now, honestly, that is the smartest thing. I mean, forget the diapers, forget the wipes, forget, buy my kid guns, okay? That's, you know, that's great, all right? Now, obviously, no, that was just somebody, they wanted to do that, and I was like, hey, I'm not, you know. I told him one time, I was like, no, you don't need to do that. I'm like, no, we want to. Okay, sure. but, you know, I've never shot it. As tempting as it is to go out and shoot it, I've never shot it. He's going to be the first one that shoots that gun. And it's sitting on the shelf. It was a brand new, it's got a camo stock, stainless steel barrel. It's a nice rifle. But you know what? He's not ready for it yet. Okay? He can't handle that yet, all right? He still goes around the house, and he wears his cowboy hat and all the time. He's always got his cowboy hat on, and he's got his guns around him, and he'll go out, and he'll put his pistol, you know, it's a good thing it don't recoil. We got to work on the recoil thing, because he'll hold it all up to squint his eyes and shoot. I mean, he shoots everything. And we got a couple guns that shoot like Nerf darts and Nerf balls, and you know, those are things that he can handle, but he can't handle a real gun at this point in his life. All right, and what is that? That is me watching him and knowing what he can. I'm watching him with love. I know what he can handle and I know what he can't handle. Now, is that still his? Yes. And you know, the nice thing about God, and what the hard thing with young people is they want it right now. I mean, if Micah knew he had that gun, he would always be asking me for that gun. I bought a new truck the other day. It's not new. It's actually really old. It's a 74 Chevy, but it's new to me. And I came home, and I actually kind of did some swapping and stuff. And I came home, and I told Mike. I said, "Hey, Mike, I got a new truck today." And he wanted to go out and see it. And he calls it his truck. It's my truck, okay? And that's and I haven't really said it was his truck. He just has assumed it's his truck, okay? And he likes riding in it. He'll ride. You know, it's one of the old trucks where they don't have seat belt. It didn't even have seat belts in it, all right? And you know, he likes riding in it. He stands up on the seat and looks out. You know, it bounces you to death. It's the old, good old trucks. And that's his truck. That's my truck. All right, well, let's say that I did keep it long enough but you know what? He can't drive it right now. Now he'll sit on my lap and he'll drive it down the driveway and down to Grandma and Grandpa's house, but he can't reach the pedals, all right? And some of you are like, take a breath. It's all right, all right? They got to learn sometime, all right? Three's better than four, so might as well learn early. But he'll drive it, and, you know, it's my truck. Now, is it really his truck? Not necessarily. Why? Because he's not ready for it, okay? And, you know, one of the hardest things for young people to understand, and I think for all of us, God has this, like, whole big treasure chest of things for us. But a lot of times, it's not the right time. And what we as people, humans, want is we want what God has for us in the future. We want it right now. I told the young people in youth training not too long ago, you know, most sin is not necessarily a bad thing. Most sin. Most sin is a good thing at the wrong time, is what most sin is, that most of these young people get in trouble with. It's a good thing. You know what? Marriage is a good thing. But they want it when they're, you know, 12. Okay, they want the benefits of marriage when they're 12. No, that's not what happens. Okay, and when God's watching us, well, you know, I watch my kids. Okay, and I built this mezzanine in my barn, like a platform goes almost a full length of my barn. Well, it's 8 foot up. Well, it's a little over 8 foot up, and I don't have handrails on it. None. And so the kids get up there and they'll run full blast. And there's, like, you run to the end and it just drops off. There's a few boards missing too. That might be part of the anxiety factor in the ladies. I'm not sure. But, you know, they'll run full blast from one end to the other and stop right at the edge. And, you know, so I'm down there working. I don't really pay them much mind, you know. No big deal. And my mother-in-law comes out there and, oh my goodness, I thought she's going to have a heart attack. Those kids shouldn't be up there. I mean, you know, there's no, you know, what if they fall? I didn't even think about it, honestly. I just said, hey, be careful. And, you know, went back to work. But what's the difference? A mother's concerned about their safety, all right? Why are they so watching them so intently? Because they're concerned about their safety. Why does God watch us sometimes so intently? Because he's concerned about us. He wants to watch out for us, okay? And he doesn't want us to have things that we shouldn't have when we shouldn't have them, all right? So sometimes it's, well, I want this. Well, maybe God wants that for you too. But now's not the right time. And we have to understand that with God, that when he watches us, it shows his love. Secondly, when he watches us, it shows his concern. Shows his concern. You know, God is concerned with what happens in your life. God's concerned with what happens in my life. We're not just a number, all right? He knows your name. He knows everything about you. He knows if you slept good last night. He knows if you didn't sleep good last night. He knows if you had, you know, thoughts, turmoil in your mind last night. He knows all that stuff. And he wants to help you with that. My daughter, Emily, you know, when she struggles in different things in school. And you know what? I watch her and I want to help her with it. Now, I'm not just going to give her the answer. And God doesn't just a lot of times just give us the answer. But he'll help us through it. Okay? He'll help us through those things. Let's go to Psalms. We're going to look at several scriptures here that show us that when God is watching us, it shows his concern, it shows his love. And let's go to Psalms. Psalms chapter number 7. We're just going to go through quite a few verses here. Psalms chapter number 7, look at verse number 10. Psalm chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "My defense is of God, which," listen to this, "which saveth the upright in heart." Listen, he's got, and I'm not going to comment on all these because a lot of them are the same thing. You know, but God is concerned with those. Why did it say he saveth the upright in heart? Because he's concerned with about those that walk uprightly. You know, he saved Daniel when he was in the lion's den. He saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in the fiery furnace. And he watches out for those that walk uprightly. And he's concerned. He wants to help you, wants to protect you. And sometimes we just think, well, I'm all alone. No, you're not. No, you're not. Psalms chapter 11. Psalms chapter 11. And I picked out most of them. We could go, there's a lot of verses about the eyes of the Lord. Look, for instance, verse number 4, Psalm chapter 11, verse 4. "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth," what? Righteousness. Very good. "His countenance doth behold the upright." What does that mean? He's watching. He's looking. He's paying attention. You know, I do watch. It's not that I don't watch out. You know, I don't want to sound like a bad parent that I don't watch out for my son. But I also think it's good for my son to fall down sometimes because he's not watching, all right? And Friday night, I had the teens over here Friday night, and they did an excellent job, by the way. Just took care of a lot of spring cleaning and fixing up the place. And so we cooked hot dogs, you know, because we had a bonfire. So, you know, whenever you got a good bonfire, you got to cook hot dogs. But the only problem is I dug a trench last year or last spring or last winter, this past winter, to put some water lines and electric lines in. Well, they've settled, so there's still a trench there. Well, you couldn't see it in the dark, and all the kids were tripping over. It was kind of funny. All the kids, until I tripped and fell flat on my face, and that wasn't funny. But they thought all it was funny. I don't know why it's so funny when somebody else gets hurt, but it is. I told my son, "Hey, Micah, watch out for that hole." And you know what? He did the first time. And then I didn't tell him anymore, and he fell every other time. And, you know, okay, he's young, he's small, he can get back up, all right? Now, if it was one of you, I would have, like, floodlights out there, you know, neon paint. Because, listen, it's not, you know, he can fall down, and it doesn't affect him. Some of us, if you fall down, and it's not a good thing. And I'm being in all seriousness. But for him, it's good for him. Honestly, it is good. It helps him pay attention. But God watches and makes sure that our steps, and we'll see this, our steps, it's careful about where we put our steps. Psalm chapter number 33. Psalms 33. I'm sorry, Psalms 34. I apologize. Psalm chapter 34, look at verse number 15. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." And then verse 16 gives us a contrast. "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." Verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." And it's just a blessing. Let's go to, hold your place there in Psalms, because we'll be right back. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Go there quickly. Say, just hold your place in Psalms. We're going to be right back there. Psalm, 1 Peter chapter number 3. Verse Look at verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. So verse 10 and 11 gives us a description of a person. Verse 12 tells us what happens. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It says a lot about what we just read in Psalms. But it gives a description of a person and about that what that person does. And then it tells what happens as a result of that. And the eyes of the Lord are upon them. Go back to Psalms, back in Psalms chapter 36. Psalm chapter 36, verse 10. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Go to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37, verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Look at verse number 37, I think is what I have there. Yep. Verse number 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Remember why I talked about that walking uprightly demands attention? That's what the Bible says here. It says, watch the guy that walks uprightly and see how his end is. Okay? Watch that guy. If you, Pastor just went through a thing about technology, and he gave a lot of quotes from people that were either wrote rock music or were involved in the rock music industry. And you go almost, as far as I know, pretty much exclusively, go look how they died. Go look at how. Now, I'm not just talking, go look at when they died. I'm going to say, go look at how they died. And then go look at how a saint of God dies and contrast those two things, okay? There's a big contrast, all right? So it says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. Watch him, for the end of that man is peace. Psalms chapter 84. Psalms chapter 84. I had t-shirts made for our teens in our youth group, and the back of their shirts have this verse on them. On their shirts. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 84, verse number 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield, gives light. Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the Lord God is a sun and shield. So it's light so you can see where you're going, and protection so you're protected along the way. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalms 112. Psalms 112. Psalms 112, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generations of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. A whole psalm concerning the upright man. Whole psalm. Psalms 125. Psalms 125. Verse Verse number 4, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good. Just do good to those that are good. That's funny. Sorry, I thought it was funny. And to them that are upright in their hearts. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. Go to Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 20. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. You know, when I watch my kids, it makes me happy when they do what's right. It does. It makes me happy. They're a delight when they do what's right. And when they don't do what's right, it's a burden when they don't do what's right. And as a parent, you know, the Bible talks about a father that doesn't chastise his son, hateth his son. And, you know, sometimes God brings things in our life. You say, well, that's not, you know, why did that happen? Maybe it's because God is watching and God's concerned with the path that you're going. And he's going to chastise us. Why? Because he hates us? No. Because he loves us. And when I watch my children, I see a certain tendency, and I don't want that in my children. I chastise that. Why? Because I hate the child? No, it's because I love the child. If I didn't, you know what happens? We just had a bus family, and a lot of, if I told you the name of the girl and described her, most of you would know her, okay? But a bus family that's just been tore apart. And that goes to church here, not necessarily on our bus, but that goes to church, and her family's just been tore apart. I mean, literally. And you think about that, and you look at the life, and it's like, well, they're just not a very disciplined child. You know, that they're not doing, you know, they're rowdy at church. All right, you know what those children need? And a lot of times, there's no discipline at home. And you know what that means? Are you following me? If there's no discipline at home, that means there is no love at home. Think about that. Well, if you spank your child, you don't love your child. No. If you don't spank your child and you don't discipline your child, you don't love your child. All right? And we see that with God. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. This will be our last one, and we'll shut it down. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. He loveth him that followeth after. What does it mean when God's watching you? Well, number one, it shows his love. And number two, it shows his concern. All right? And God loves us. God's concerned about us. And God knows what you did yesterday. God knows the things that you know, he knows the thoughts that I had yesterday that disappointed him. He does. And I don't want to do that. And that's why, that's one thing that keeps me, you know, how many times in the book of Proverbs did Solomon tell Rehoboam, and when he was writing, he said, my son, give me thine heart. What is that? It's, if I'm trying to, at some point, my dad didn't have to discipline me a whole lot anymore. Okay, does that make sense? Why? Because at some point, it wasn't the fact that I was afraid of getting disciplined. It was the fact that I was afraid of disappointing him. And that's when your heart is given. And wouldn't it be nice if we were that way with God? And God says, my son, my daughter, give me thine heart. Where God doesn't have to come through and discipline us to keep us doing what's right. We do what's right because we don't want to disappoint him. And let's make sure that when God's watching us, because he is, that we can be like the Jobs, and he can say, hey, have you considered my servant, and put your name there. And let's be like that for him so that he's not disappointed in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this lesson, these few lessons we've had about walking uprightly. Lord, it's been a challenge in my life, And Lord, some things I just didn't really think about. And I pray, the Lord, that we wouldn't fall down before the wicked, that we would just stand and keep doing what's right no matter what happens. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the way you meet our needs. Thank you for your correction in our lives. Lord, we don't understand it sometimes, but thank you for it. Help us to always take it and be better as a result of it. Thank you for all that you do. Help us this morning services to follow. In Jesus' name.